Breaking news.
And this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $200 in bonus bets when they bet $5. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $200 in bonus bets. And see why. It's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Virginia. Terms and conditions apply.
Is your siding looking old and outdated? Give your home the makeover it deserves with James Hardy Siding from Thompson Creek, the number one brand in America. Thompson Creek, powered by James Hardy, offers endless design possibilities with vivid colors and unique styles that elevate your home's look. Plus, it's low maintenance and UV resistant for lasting beauty. With special financing from Thompson Creek, upgrading is easier than ever. Act now and Thompson Creek will install your entire siding project without installation costs. Schedule an in-home or virtual consult today at thompsoncreek.com.
You listen to The Expressway with VT Express, Billy Taylor, and Charles Show Me The Way. We're on every single week talking about NFL football on the NFL8podcast.com.
And well, and let's get it. Here we go. Welcome to The Expressway. I'm Charles Way. I'm here with my partner in crime, the VT Express, Billy Taylor, and we're here to take you through the world of sports, specifically New York football sports, as well as the happenings in basketball. We got LeBron James, the greatest scorer, greatest player, questionably, of all time. We're going to debate whether that is true or not. We're going to talk about Kyrie leaving the New York area for brighter pastures, as it seemed in his last press conference. And Dallas, and we're going to talk, give you our predictions for the upcoming Super Bowl. But first, obviously, we got to give you the daily update on the Jets and Giants' status on their quarterbacks. Let's take the Jets since it's quick, and it's only because the Jets hired Nathaniel Hackett as their offensive coordinator. So all the speculation is that my man Aaron Rodgers is headed to New York for greener pastures. So what do you think about that?
Well, see, the thing, it makes sense for him to leave. And you think about this deja vu, because you were around when Brett Favre was going to leave Green Bay and go to greener pastures. And he ended up playing with the Jets for, you know, a cup of tea, and then he went to Minnesota. And they went to the championship game but lost. So this is almost perfect for Aaron Rodgers to come to the Jets, rescue them, get their fan base back together, get their offense exciting again, because they got the talent. And I could see Aaron Rodgers lighting up New York. I mean, it's almost like I said last year about this time, I said, if Danny Jones, and I got this on tape, can take the Giants to the playoffs, he will be doing commercials by a certain date. Now, check it out. Now, the Giants made it to the playoffs, and he's sitting front row at the Knick game. And I said, so I said, only in New York.
That's right.
But I think Aaron Rodgers to the Jets sounds really good to me. And I would, like I said before, I want the Jets to win. I mean, most New Yorkers do, or people who live here. It's just not against the Giants. So I just hope, you know, Aaron Rodgers, I would love to see that, because that would really make the back pages.
Yeah, I think it would spice up the New York sport rivalry that's already there. Because if you work or play for either of the New York teams, you're always looking over across the field to see what they're doing. Because if you're good and they're not, there's an issue, right? And you become irrelevant. So if you're winning at the same times, how good would it be to have all New York? It's not a subway series. It's like a tunnel series. It's a tunnel series. For Super Bowl, for next year's Super Bowl. But I'm excited, because I think Aaron Rodgers would bring some excitement, some electricity, not to the Jet fan base. And I guarantee you, you're going to hear them saying that they're going to the Super Bowl next year, especially if he signs with the Jets. Because if you look at it on a piece of paper, they should be just as good as Buffalo and Cincinnati and Kansas City. From a defensive perspective, I think they can hold their own. From an offensive perspective, I think they only needed a good leader, and I think he could be that leader. I just hope that he doesn't rub the young guys the wrong way and do be more of a nurturer instead of more of a dad or coach. Because I think if he does that, it may be detrimental to that team.
Yeah, but see, my problem is that if he doesn't get them to the Super Bowl and they spend $50 million on a quarterback, that's tough. But then the salary cap went up to $215 million, I think, a couple of years ago. During the pandemic, it was $115 million. So I think that, you know, if the Jets can show their fortitude and go get him, they may have to give up too much. I mean, they got a great defense, so you don't want to give up really anybody on defense, whether it's Sauce, that defensive back, whether it's Garrett, the wide receiver. You don't want to give up anybody that can help you. So I don't see how you get out of this, you know, what you put into it as far as what do you get out of it for the Jets if you give up too much stuff. Can you still make the Super Bowl with a good quarterback?
I think if you're the GM and the head coach, when you're making that decision, you got to keep your core guys in place. So here are your untouchables. And once you've identified your untouchables, then I think that's when you can kind of put together a good package that somebody would be willing, or the Green Bay Packers would be willing to at least bite on. But outside of that, I'm not taking away my core guys, because I think there are other guys out there in the free agent market that would, I mean, that would do enough to get them over the top. Like I said, I don't think they are so stacked from a skill position wise and a defensive position wise. I don't think you need to break the bank to bring Aaron Rodgers in. I just think you just need to do enough to get him here. Don't, like I said, don't clean house to get him. But if I'm Green Bay, if you want him, you better clean house to get him. But then you're going to have the same thing that happened last year. If you're Green Bay, you know you're going to have a guy who doesn't want to be there, doesn't want to play there anymore, and it can make things rough for you. So, and plus, they have that backup quarterback that's waiting in the wings, ready to take his spot. And I think it's time for him to show what he can do.
Yeah, but see, and you're talking about love of the Green Bay Packers. But see, the only reason that you would maybe go all out is because if you can get Aaron Rodgers to come here with a team that's pretty much set, they got the defensive positions in, they got the skill positions in offensively, they're just ready to have someone manage the game, let alone make a play or two to put the Jets over the top. So I would make that move with Rodgers, because I just think that that he's the kind of quarterback that if he gets the right protection, he should be able to put the Jets in a situation that they've never been in. Also, the Jets running game before Hall got hurt, he should be back next year. And the offensive line is really in tune. If I was a quarterback, and if it wasn't just for the Cole, I'd definitely come to play with the Jets, because they got everything in order.
You're not kidding. And that's going to be an exciting story to follow this offseason. But now to our Giants. You got Daniel Jones and you have Saquon Barkley. Who do you deal with first? A lot of the stories coming out of the Giants front office is that they want to lock Daniel Jones up to franchise Saquon. Obviously, there is a huge amount of dollar signs, a lot of reasons, money-wise, why it's better to franchise a running back as opposed to a quarterback. But if Danny Jones is looking for $40 million, I don't see how they are not going to franchise him, because I don't know if he's worth $40 million.
Well, see, right now, I don't think he is, and it's hard for me to even try to even think about him being, you know, 3 or 4 years ago, he was, you know, leading the league and turnovers and all that, and all of a sudden he kind of puts that in order this year, doesn't turn the ball over very much and gives the Giants a playoff. The thing about it is that he did enough where he should get a raise, but I'm thinking maybe $30 million a year, because then you have room for everybody else. Tom Brady did that in Tampa and in New England, took less of a pay, and then was able to get other people to come in, other receivers. And I think the Giants have to convince Danny Jones. But then again, when he's at the Knick game, sitting there in front, he's probably thinking, like, I'm the man now. And people say, you should go get that 40. So He's in New York. You're supposed to be paid more in New York than other places, but that may not be the case.
Yeah, I agree with you. That's going to be a tough decision. I know his agent and his team is saying, look, somebody is out there is going to be willing to pay you $40 million, right? But the question if I was Daniel Jones, that I would be asking myself is, am I playing for the paycheck? Am I going to go to a team that I'm going to have to start over, or am I going to stay with a team that I already know, a system that has helped me become the type of quarterback that I am, and actually have the best chance to continue to excel, to hopefully be one of the premier quarterbacks in the NFL. And if you think about it, you're in the best market to do all the other stuff, to make money from a marketing perspective, for sponsorship deals. You could do whatever you want in New York because you're in New York. So why do you want to leave? So I mean, hometown rebate type of deal. It's like, hey, take 35 and let's figure out how we can put you in a Dunkin' Donut commercial with Eli Manning to cover the other $5 million, right?
See, I think that, you're lucky enough to be playing in New York because of the advertisement and the speaking engagements and stuff like that. I just think that if he does the right thing, he could, well, he's going to set himself up for the rest of his life. But what I mean is that, he could be doing commercials. Joe Namath is still doing commercials. And Joe Namath has got to be over 70 some odd years of age. So, if he could bring a championship, and at least get them going well again, I just think he surpassed what a lot of people thought he could do. I mean, he certainly surprised me because I didn't think that he would get to the Giants to the playoffs this year. But he really opened up the eyes. Now, don't get greedy and try to, take the bank because you put the Giants in a tough position. But, they've got to be able to fit him in the salary gap somewhere and sign other people.
Yeah, hopefully they figure that out pretty quickly and not get him the free agent. They got little less than a month left before free agency starts. So I'm curious to see if they can work out a deal. So what about Saquon and his situation? I think his situation is a little bit different because running backs aren't getting paid. So we already know he's probably he's maxed out at $15 million. I don't see how you get to the $20 million range and you don't stay healthy. You haven't played a full year healthy in the past three or four. So if I'm Saquon, and that's what he's been putting out there, is I'm going to take whatever I can get. But within reason, and I like the way he's trying to promote himself. He's, from what I've been reading, he wants to stay in New York. And if he wants to stay in New York, let's figure out a way to sign him.
I think he's a great guy. I think that he's exactly the kind of character that the Giants want to have. He's a leader. He handles himself well. He looks good. And I just think that if the Giants aren't, careful, that he might sign somewhere else, because the publicity that he got this year around the whole NFL by helping Danny Jones go to the playoffs has got to be one of the top teams in the NFL right now for what the Giants did, because at the beginning of the year, the prognosticators did not put them in the top five or top 10 as far as getting to the playoffs. I didn't do it myself, just trying to be logical. So I like Saquon. I like him as a running back. I think he's great. You go ahead, Joe.
Yeah. So I'm those two situations for the Giants is really going to determine what the offseason looks like for them, because those two guys, once you have those two pieces in place or have made a decision on those two pieces, then I think it lines up well to kind of determine what the Giant offseason will look like and what their needs will be. So you're listening to The Expressway with the BT Express, Billy Taylor and Charles Show Me The Way. We'll be right back. Just don't move a muscle.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $200 in bonus bets when they bet $5. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $200 in bonus bets and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only.
must be physically located in Virginia. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome back to the Expressway. We are the BT Express, Billy Taylor and Charles Show Me the Way here at the Expressway. Welcome back. We just got finished talking about the New York Giants offseason to-do list, as well as the Jets' quandary at the quarterback position. And now we're going to talk about some of our favorite New York Giants Super Bowl moments. Unfortunately, we can't talk about the Jets Super Bowl moments because, A, I was just born. So I don't have that much familiarity with the Jets since it's been so long. And so the familiarity I have is with the Giants. So unfortunately, Jets fans, you're just going to have to live through vicariously through the Giants' memories. So, Billy, 90, you were with some of those guys that played on that 86 and 90 teams. What are some of the things you remember about those guys and how they used to talk about those Super Bowl teams when you were in the locker room?
Well, Phil Simms was the leader of that team, and he got drafted the year after me, so I got a chance to play a few years with him. He was tough as nails. He stayed after practice. You know, he did all the things a quarterback has got to do, but he got hurt a lot before that because he got drafted, I think, six or seven years before that. And then I thought that George Martin and Harry Carson and Billy Ard and all those guys really had played so hard, they deserve to go to the Super Bowl. And then in 86, they beat the Redskins three times. And people talk about beating somebody. They beat them for the NFC Championship. And because of the no football team had been in New York since 1969, and I was definitely not around, they didn't know what to do. So the Giants had their victory party at Giants Stadium. They didn't go down the canyon of heroes or anything like that. And then the 90-91 was a shocker because they beat the Buffalo Bills, who was the best team in the NFL, highest scoring team. And Belichick and Parcells came up with a game plan to stop them. And that's the first thing I thought about was terrible coaching, because the Giants are playing one defensive lineman, maybe two. And the rest, either linebackers or safeties, and the Bills wouldn't run the ball. If they run the ball, they win. Because Thurman Thompson, the running back, he had 100-something yards anyway. He would have got MVP and not O.J. Anderson if they had simply just stayed with the game plan. But they wanted to put the ball up. And that was my memories. And then in 1990, Whitney Houston sang the national anthem, and that was sensational. And it was we had to go through the stadium in Tampa one at a time because they were going through some kind of bomb threats. And they had just had one of the buildings burned up in Oklahoma City. Mm-hmm. So the Giants came out victory on that. That was probably one of the games that I definitely didn't think the Giants would come through, because Buffalo was just putting points on the board. And, you know, the offense with Jim Kelly was just kicking it. And I cannot believe that the guy for the Buffalo Bills missed the field goal and the Giants were two-time Super Bowl champion.
That's amazing. And then we go to the next time the Giants go to the Super Bowl is another 10 years later in 2000.
Yep.
When they play the Baltimore Ravens, and that was the Kerry Collins-led team. You had Michael on the defensive side of the ball. You had Jason Sehorn.
Were you there then?
Huh?
Were you there then?
You know what? I was there. That's the year I retired. So imagine the year you retire because of your knee, the team goes to the Super Bowl, right? And so that kind of, you know, I know how Tiki feels. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? It's like the year you retire, your team goes into the Super Bowl, right? So that was tough. At least I was at the game. At least I was on the sideline. But, you know, I think that team reminds me of the Eagles, because we had a great team that year. If you think about it, Carey was throwing the ball all around. Yep. I mean, yep. Amani Toomer was playing well. And I mean, we had a good team on offense. Maybe not a great team, but we had a good team on offense. Tiki was running the ball well. Yep. They were using him out of the backfield as a receiver. You know, we had Howard Cross, one of the, you know, tight end blocking extraordinaire on the team, yep. kind of yep. held down the offensive line. And then our defense was outstanding, right? And Sehorn was like one of the premier cornerbacks in the league that year. So when you look at the team, and especially how we were running through people, we beat Minnesota, the revenge game against Minnesota. And then we beat Philly that year as well. And then we go on the Super Bowl thinking, man, we got it. Sean Payton was calling plays that year. So think about the coaching staff at that time. Sean Payton's calling plays. And we go into Baltimore thinking, we really have a chance to win this game. And then you get to Tampa and you get to the game. And when Ron Dixon runs the kickoff 100 yards back, that was the only score in the game. And if it wasn't for Jesse Armstead had the pick six that was called back, I yep. think that was the momentum changer in that game that kind of derailed us and we didn't have the outcome that we would have liked.
Well, the thing that was memorable for me is I was with Larry Hardesty, and we had covered the game we had covered the Super Bowl, and all I was trying to figure out who's going to win the game. And then Tony Siragusa, who's the defensive lineman for Baltimore, he's asked me to play in this golf tournament. And so I said, who's going to win the game? He says, I know you play with the Giants, Billy, but, you know, we've never lost to an offensive line that was finesse. He said, the Giants are finesse, and we're just going to roll them over. I said, what do you mean? He said, he named the tough guys they had up front. His job was to protect Ray Lewis. So that Ray Lewis had no pads on. He didn't wear any leg pads. And I was just shocked. I'd never seen a linebacker. And then I understood because they were taking care of him. Right. They were making sure that nobody got to him. And that's what Siragusa's job was. He says, anybody that's finesse, we're going to beat them. And I understood what he was talking about. And that scared the heck out of me. So I couldn't really say much. I didn't want to go on the radio, say anything. You know, so I said, well, you know, I hope it's a good game. But the Baltimore Ravens, they got up before half, and the halftime it was over. And I just felt sorry because they were a tough team. I mean, they hit. They came to play. They had a great safety. They came up and hit you, and so hit you in the mouth. And then Ray Lewis running around talking trash. You know, so
yeah, that was Trent Dilfer.
Yes.
Leading that team. And imagine, and Trent Dilfer is in a top 20 quarterback.
Maybe not right? top 25. But he can manage. He can manage the team.
Yeah. So that was probably the most disappointing Super Bowl that I've been a part of. The most exciting was 2007. Mm-hmm. And the reason why 2007 was exciting for me is because A, how we got to where we were. We won 13 in a row. We had to win 13 in a row to get there, to make the playoffs. But how the team, how really it started in the offseason, and how, remember, don't you remember when they wanted Coughlin's head at the beginning of the season?
Yep.
Michael wasn't happy. They had a character in the Daily News of barbed wire around the playing field at the stadium, and they had like a Nazi helmet on Coughlin's head, and Michael trying to climb the fence to get out of practice, right? It was like you know, leading up to that year, it was bad. But during the offseason, when I saw that Coach Coughlin was trying to change the way he was doing things and trying to get to know players,
be nicer,
and it was night and day. The environment, the feel, and even when we went through that rough patch where we lost like four or five in a row, where we had to win out in order to make the playoffs, you kind of felt that there was something going that was changing, and I was excited. But really, The day I knew we won, we were going to win that Super Bowl, was probably the night before the game. We're in the hotel lobby, and all I'm seeing is it's the entire team with their families just hanging out together. It was a normal day, and it was like a family, like everybody was family. Everybody, it was like a family reunion, and everybody was hanging out with everybody else. I'm like, man, this is what we were trying to create the entire year. And to see it come to fruition, it was like amazing. And I knew that we were tight enough and we were going to beat New England that year. And that was exciting. That was probably one of the most exciting games I've been a part of.
Well, for me, it was kind of weird because I always went to the Super Bowl location, and then I would leave from there Saturday night and fly to Barbados. That's what I did. I took Joe Morris, Eric Dorsey, Odessa Turner, and all of us flew to Barbados. And the trip for me was that the Giants had played the Patriots the last game of the season and lost to them by 3 points. Kept the Patriots undefeated season in tow. So then they go there, they're 18-0, and we're putting our stuff together with everybody. And the Giants, ex-players, Dorsey and Morris, Joe Morris, they said for sure the Giants are going to win. This is all whatever. And I had, seen Bill Belichick and, the way they beat by three. And I just thought that, it was going to be too tough. So I bet on the Patriots. And the bad thing is that Giants won, in one of the greatest games in NFL history. And it really opened my eyes about it. But, it's really funny how, you can't really, that's why they call it sports, because everybody thought the Patriots were going to win, but except for some of the Giant personnel.
Yeah, and you're absolutely right. And it kind of sounds reminiscent, because not too many people are giving Kansas City a shot this year because of what Philly has. They have a great defense, have a great offense. They were the best team in the NFL this year, bar none. And we are going to talk about this in the fourth quarter, but if it's a great game, I think the Kansas City will win the game. Oh, the only way, I mark my words, this is my prediction right now.
No, wait till the fourth quarter.
Okay, I'm gonna wait till the fourth quarter. I'm not gonna mark my words then. And then just 2011 before we go to break. 2011, Indianapolis, different team, different players, but there was always one play in both of the Super Bowls to 2007. It was the David Tyree play and then the Mario Manningham play. Eli was able to throw two balls in those games that really made a difference, that made his career, right? That really made him a Hall of Fame quarterback. Those two throws, because if it wasn't for Brandon Jacobs and Ahmad Bradshaw doing their thing, and the defense, we had good defense. Michael Strahan was there one time, Justin Tuck and OC the other time. I mean, we had really good defenses, really good players on that side of the ball. And so I think when you kind of think about 2011, sometimes it may get lost because you don't have a Michael there, right? Yep. But you still had those key moments. You had Justin making a, putting pressure on Brady, and then you can't say enough about Mario's catch on the sideline to keep the drive alive, because I don't know if the drive would have been kept alive if we wouldn't.
It would not have.
And so that's the exciting part. But you're listening to the Expressway with Charles Way and the BT Express Billy Taylor. Don't touch that dial or that pause button, because we'll be right back.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, where every nail-biting overtime win, breakaway, pick six, three-point shot, underdog win, buzzer beater, shootout, walk-off, and absolutely every play in between is amazing. From football to basketball and hockey to baseball, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Virginia.
And we're back. We call this the Expressway, Billy Taylor and Charles Show Me the Way. And Charles is the one who came up with the name, and I thought it was a great, great call by Charles, because they call him Charles Show Me the Way, and they call me Billy Taylor, the VT Express. So he called it Expressway. And we're on every single Wednesday talking the world of sports. We concentrate on the New York area with the Jets and the Giants, but the Giants are doing some offseason stuff, and we're going to see what kind of deals they come up with. But what we're excited here in the third quarter is that a couple of different things in the world of basketball, because we're trying to talk about all sports. And this one, the big news today was LeBron James passing Kareem Abdul-Jabbar for the most points in NFL history. And I was blown away, because I remember back in the 80s, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar was the NBA's leading scorer, and I didn't think anybody would ever catch him. And then I didn't think that LeBron James was so-called a scorer. But, you know, he's proved to be, you know, maybe on the Mount Rushmore, you know, for NBA players. I don't know, but I have to, you have to give credit when it's due, and I'm not a hater.
Yeah, I don't think you can beat a hater. No one ever thought they would catch Kareem. Kareem played like 60 years, right? He played when I was born and probably when I got to 50, it seemed like, you know? That man was playing forever, right? And so nobody ever thought they would catch him. And for LeBron to do it, and as quick as he's done it,
yes,
it is amazing. It just goes to show you how much of the main guy he was on every team he was on, from the Cleveland Cavaliers, you know, going, hanging out to LA, going, then trying to team up with your boys in Miami and every, you know what I'm saying? All just trying to figure it out. And he was still the main guy, main scorer. They depended on him to score. And so it's exciting to see it come full circle. Going back to Cleveland twice, he's done his job, right? Going back to Cleveland twice. And now, is it apropos that he's in a wasteland of LA, which is quite ironic, because you're in one of the best markets for basketball with a legacy of like the Boston Celtics, and it's a wasteland because they can't win. They don't have a great team out there right now, and they don't know what they're going to be. And so I was taken aback when I saw the clips that they stopped the game after he scored the basket.
Yep.
But, you know, I'm like, man, and he's like feeding in like this. Look, who's the man? But I guess what else do you have to play for? You're not playing for a title. You're not playing, probably not playing for a playoff spot. And so why not celebrate me? Forget the team. It's about me right now.
The weird thing is that's exactly what I was thinking, because, you know, usually when something happens like that, your teammates would come jump on you. Nobody ran to jump on him. And it was like, it's all about me. I'm the man. And see, that's the thing that it's hard for me to deal with, because, you know, I train on sportsmanship, and sportsmanship is always having empathy and sympathy for other people. And I just think that if something happens, if your team is so tight, why wouldn't everybody jump on them? It's almost like a field goal kicker kicks the winning field goal and everybody jumps on them. But yeah. I didn't see anybody jump on LeBron. I don't know if it's LA. I don't know if it's his lack of unionization with his teammates. So I caught that the same thing, and I couldn't understand it. But I think that's one of the toughest records that I've ever seen in the history of sports, the all-time scoring leader. There hadn't been many of them, because I was looking before Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, it was Wilt Chamberlain.
Yeah.
Wilt Chamberlain had to go, had to do a certain amount of things, and then Kareem Abdul-Jabbar ended up breaking that record and had it for over 30-something years. And, you know, so I was just totally taken by it, and I thought it was, you know, something worth mentioning.
Yeah, and maybe in today's NBA, because of the three-pointer is so prevalent, you may have some more, because there are a lot more 50-point games out there as opposed to back when Kareem played. And Kareem played inside the circle, so he got all of those points.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, where every nail-biting overtime win, breakaway, pick six, three-point shot, underdog win, buzzer beater, shootout, walk-off, and absolutely every play in between is amazing. From football to basketball and hockey to baseball, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Virginia.
And if they were 2 points or and ones, right? So all of his points were in the circle. Now you got Steph Curry, and you know, probably Steph Curry is probably could be the closest just because how many twos, but he's been hurt a lot.
Yep.
So he may not be healthy enough to play as long as LeBron. And I think his size hurts him. If you're looking at who could potentially catch LeBron in today's era, I mean, you would want to say Steph, but he's not healthy enough to be that guy. And so when you're looking at potentials, do you see anybody else in the league that could potentially catch him?
I don't see anybody. You know, Steph is 30-something years of age, and I think he's had numerous injuries where I don't know if he can go 20 years. LeBron really pays attention to his body. As a matter of fact, they say he's one of the most nutritious athletes to ever play the game, him and Tom Brady. That's why they both, you know, went over 20 years. And so I just think that some athletes aren't willing to put that price down, but I would do it in the NBA, Charles, because they are getting paid. I mean, you know, you got players, a bunch of players making over $50 million a year, and they don't even argue about it. Like, you know, we're talking about quarterbacks getting too much money. They don't say that. They don't say that in the NBA. And running backs, whether or not they don't do that. If you get to a certain level in the NBA, you can be a max player, which means max money. And my tribute again is to LeBron James for really being a good person on and off the court. I've been aware of some of the things he's done off the court, and I just can't believe that people don't talk about it, but it's positive, so that's why they didn't want to hear it.
Yeah, I think he's revolutionizing the athlete, the power of an athlete's pocketbook or money. And so he's actually making athletes become more relevant in the business world. And I appreciate everything he's doing off the court to help highlight the impact that athletes can have in society and in our community. So everything that he's doing is a positive. Unfortunately, this next guy that we're about to talk about, everything he's doing for our community could be negative. I think is something that's worth discussing, and that's Kyrie Irving. You got the issues with the book, and now you got the issues with the Nets. Before the season, during the season, now he's in Dallas, and now it seems like he's a new man. He just was at a press conference. I'm just happy to be around a place that wants me. Now, was that a dig at the management team not wanting him, or was it a dig at the fans not wanting him? And so what do you say about what was that dig at? Like, he wasn't appreciated in New York. He was appreciated because he was the dynamic duo. It was him and Kyrie. I mean, him and Kevin Durant. And so it was their team. And so how weren't you appreciated? They were begging you to stay. I mean, that's why they got Kevin Garnett to stay, because they were going to keep you. Right. And so because Kevin Garnett said, if you're going to let this dude go, I'm out. And so they kept you. So they want you. And now you're saying that they don't want you. I just think the man, hey, is living in his own world. And that's OK.
And you said that nicely, because, you know, you wanted to say the truth. You know, he's a terrible guy. He's ridiculous. You know, something's wrong with him. He said the world was flat. And I can't believe what the heck's wrong with you? It's so easy to find out. We got Google now. You can find out this stuff. And what he said about it in the book was terrible. There's no room for anti-Semitism anywhere in the world. I just think he's ignorant. And see, what I was thinking about, I was looking at his career. He went to Duke University. But then Coach Krzyzewski, the head coach of the basketball team, told him he should leave after his first year. And I think really he got tired of dealing with Kyrie. That's why he told him to leave. And everywhere he's been now, when the team went to the bubble, he didn't want to go. So he sat out that year. Then he pretended he was at the January 6th situation at the Congress. He lied about that. He was at his sister's wedding. So, you know, he's missed so many games. He couldn't do that in the NFL, Charles. They'd kick him out or suspend him or do something where he wouldn't be able to do his shenanigans. I'm just tired of him. I'm glad the Brooklyn Nets traded him because, you know, why do you want a player who's going to try to hold you up? And the worst thing for me, and I'm going to let you finish because we got to, you know, whatever. I just think he's not a team player. You see how Pat Mahomes really worked hard to come back from his high ankle sprain? Kyrie in the playoffs a couple of years ago had a low ankle sprain, wouldn't even work on it. Didn't even go to training. You got to go to at least the trainer to show how to, you know, that you're putting heat on it or cold stuff on it or whatever. He gave no effort.
Tell me how you really feel. Tell me how you really feel.
And gave no effort to play to help Kevin Durant. They end up losing to Milwaukee, and Kevin Durant has some like 38-point games. You know? So I just thought that was crazy.
Well, it's all about the guaranteed contracts. You know, the NBA players, Major League Baseball players, they have a lot of power, and it's because of the guaranteed contract, because teams know that I'm going to have to deal with him forever how many years I sign this guy, because I'm paying him for that amount of time. Whereas in the NFL, you do get guaranteed money, but it's up front. And some of the times, a lot of teams feel as though, okay, I can get rid of you after your first 3 years because I don't have to owe you any more money than what I've already given you. And so I save money by letting you go. And I think that's the difference between the NFL and the other sports outside of hockey, is that the guaranteed money that they're paid gives them a lot of power, a lot more power and a lot more say in what they do and where they go. But hold on to that thought, because we're about to go into our last segment of the day, where we're going to talk about the Kansas City Chiefs against the Philadelphia Eagles and tell you who we think has a chance to win. But we'll be right back in a moment. Welcome back to the Expressway. This is Charles Way with my partner in crime, the BT Express, Billy Taylor. And we are finally reached the fourth quarter, where you get our predictions for this weekend's Super Bowl matchup against the Kansas City Chiefs and the Philadelphia Eagles. And like I said before, Billy, this could be a very good game or a very ugly game, right? And if it's a very good game, there's only going to be one winner. And I'm going to wait until the end. But there's only going to be one winner. But if you break it down, who has the best defense between Kansas City and Philly?
Well, see, for me, it's a no-brainer. Philadelphia has, you know, they've been the top team since day one. I mean, they come at it with waves of defensive linemen. They come, their secondary is good. They got the former Giant defensive back who the Giants let go because of salary. He's played extremely well. I just think that they are, you know, one of the top teams in the NFL. They brought the NFC East up because the NFC East was down the last couple of years. And I just think the defense is something that Mahomes is going to have to deal with. And I see the thing about it is that Mahomes, he's the difference in this game. If he wasn't playing, I don't think it would be as good of a game is going to be. I just want to be entertained. So when I get to the third quarter or fourth quarter, the game is in doubt. If that happens, I've already won.
That's right. And then from an offensive standpoint, who do you think has the edge? And given, I know you got to put a lot of weight to Kansas City because of Mahomes, but if you look at what the Eagles have done, from a wide receiver's perspective, I think that if you look at position by position, the wide receivers are better than Kansas City, right? You got Devontae Smith and number 11, the other kid on the other side.
From Tennessee.
All pro.
Yep.
The offensive line is better, healthier.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $200 in bonus bets when they bet $5. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $200 in bonus bets and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Virginia. Terms and conditions apply.
The running backs are all three running backs for the Eagles are probably just as good at, or if not better than the running back for Kansas City. And the edge that Kansas City has is the quarterback, but I don't know how much of an edge because you look at what the Eagles quarterback is doing with the fact that he can run the ball and extend plays just like Patrick Mahomes. Right. And he can extend plays 3rd and 14, 3rd and 21. He's making plays 4th and 21. He's making plays. And so when you look at Jalen Hurts and Patrick Mahomes, yeah, Patrick Mahomes is a better quarterback. But in this game, they're almost even based on their productivity.
Well, the thing for me is that I've seen Jalen Hurts play probably in the last couple of years. Probably 6 or 7 times. He has improved so much, it's incredible. His ability to read the defense, and that's what I look at a lot of quarterbacks who misread it, throw into double coverage, throw it and not supposed to make bad decisions. I don't see him making too many bad decisions all year long. And he had to rest a little bit at the end because he hurt his shoulder, but I think that he's ready now with this 2-week layoff. I think he's ready to go. If he comes in any close to full speed, it's going to be tough for Kansas City because they have a tough time on defense anyway, let alone playing someone as tough as the Eagles. So I just think it. And the thing about it, if you win the coin flip, Charles Way, do you concede and kick the ball off and wait to get to the second half? Or do you realize that whoever gets that coin flip might, make the difference in the game?
And I think that's where this game kind of boils down to is the defensive side of the ball. Because if you're looking on paper, Kansas City's defense has no chance of stopping Philly's offense.
Yep, on right? paper.
But if you look on paper, I think you have to say the Eagles' defense has a better chance of stopping Kansas City's offense at least once or twice. May not stop them every time. But at least they have a better chance of stopping them once or twice. I just don't see the same thing on the other side of the ball, given Jalen Hurts, the running backs, the wide receiver. You know what? It could come down to play calling, coaching, because the only way that the Philly can screw this game up is if coaching keeps Kansas City's defense in the game.
Yeah, but see, I think every game – or at least 10 games this season, the Eagles have been up by double figures. And the other team has had to come back to get them. They're usually up 14 points in the beginning. They usually score on their opening drive. And if that's true, that means that Kansas City's going to have to come back and get them. They are a comeback team. We have a quarterback that can improvise and take what the defense gives you, like Patrick Mahomes, you're always in every game. My problem is the Eagles, there's no weakness in my mind on their side of the ball. And what can Kansas City do if they have to keep going and fighting back and forth? But that's what I want to see, is a game going back and forth and not being decided too late and give one of those quarterbacks a chance to show why they are or who they are this year and why their team is where they are. So it's going to be fun. It's going to be interesting. And I just hope it lives up to the hype of the 2 weeks.
I'm hoping so. Like I said, if it's a good game, Spags has done what he was supposed to do and put a great game plan together. And I know he can do it because he's done it against one of the greatest, the GOAT of the NFL, Tom Brady. He's done it. And he's done it twice. The game we talked about in the regular season and in the Super Bowl put together two great game plans to beat them. That, remember, they had Randy Moss on that team, that New England team.
Yep.
Right? And so he can do it. I just think the Giants defense at that time, when he had them in 2007, had better talent than Kansas City's defense right now. And in the NFC, in the AFC Championship game, their entire defensive back core was a rookie or younger than 3 years. And so how can you play against a team with a bunch of veterans like the Eagles and think you're going to win with a bunch of rookies in the biggest game of the season?
Yeah, but see, this is Kansas City's third trip to the Super Bowl in the last 6 years. They won the first one. The offensive line was destroyed, and they ended up losing to Brady on the second one. And this is the third one from Mahomes. So, you know, does he learn from his mistakes? Does he take the value of him being in this position and knowing what to do? And so that's the thing that I don't know, because, you know, you got two very good teams. If Mahomes, if anything happens to Mahomes, Eagles don't have a chance because, the Eagles will probably blow them out, if Mahomes gets hurt or the backup quarterback comes in, because he means that much to him. But I just think that you got two great coaches. One's a young coach and is a little bit too much mouthing off, because Andy Reid believes in the attitude that it's better to say nothing and show what you can do. So, you know, it would be a shame for Andy Reid to lose to his former team. I would feel bad if I was him, you know. And then, like I said, to have your former, one of your assistant coaches beat you, that'd be a tough situation. So I hope it works out either way.
Yeah, no, as we wrap up, you know, I'm not a Sirian. I think Sirianni has become like the evil villain that people want to hate just because of the way he acts. Right. And that's probably good to have especially from a marketing piece perspective. If you're the NFL, is to have a villain like a Belichick. So he's going to take Belichick's kind of throne of the most hated coach in the NFL. And especially if he keeps winning and if he wins the Super Bowl, it just kind of adds to the aura about Sirianni. Right. And so, but I would love to see Andy Reid beat his former team and say, "You got rid of me now, right? And I've gotten two Super Bowls now that you've gotten rid of me." And so it would be nice to see. But my prediction, as we close, and I can't wait to hear yours, but my prediction, and mark my words, this is going to happen. So if you're in the third quarter and it's a tight game, it's a 1-point game, a 3-point game, mark my words, Kansas City wins all day, every day.
If what happens to that again?
If it's a tight game, by the end of the third quarter, if it's under a touchdown,
yes,
a touchdown or less, Kansas City wins. I don't care if they're behind. If it's a touchdown or less, Kansas City wins. No questions, no end. So put all your money on the betting app on Kansas City if they're out of the third quarter and they're down by less than a touchdown.
See, what scares me is that if Philadelphia takes the lead like they've done in 10 out of 11 games and Kansas City is playing from behind, it makes the pressure too much. And I don't know if they can fight the pressure. You know, you're getting your behind beat. They're scoring every time. Philadelphia's putting up 30-something points, which they do every single game. Then I would think that, you know, the Eagles could, you know, withstand any kind of comeback that Kansas City would do. But because of Texas Tech University and Pat Mahomes, I'm going to have to go with Kansas City. I know it's going to be tough because, again, the Eagles are the best team I've seen this year. They really are. Oh, and I wanted to ask you, you're from Philly. You love Philly. You know the places to go. Why are you not all over the bandwagon of Philly?
I can't.
But you got to be logical.
Logically, I'm not betting any money, so I can play with my heart. So as long as I'm not putting any money on this game, I'm going with my heart and not my head. And I'm going to root for Kansas City and Andy Reid.
Yeah, root for Kansas City and Andy Reid. Well, see, the thing for me is that the Eagles have had everything go exactly the way they wanted. Home field advantage throughout the playoffs, momentum going into the playoffs, best record in the NFL. And I don't see how you can, they've really come on and they've done me justice. The only time I was ever mad at them when they lost to the Cowboys in overtime, and they shouldn't have lost that game, but Hurts was, I think, banged up that game. So I'm definitely going with the Eagles.
Can't wait to see it.
I'm going with the Eagles, and I'm going to go for something like 39-32 because both teams put up over 30 points on the board, and I just think that the Eagles have played too well this year, and it's kind of a shame because probably a lot of people don't like their coach. <You know? laughs> And for him to win, I think a lot of people are rooting against him.
That's
and because of the crazy Eagle fans, a lot of people are rooting against them too.
That's right.
Yeah, but I'm going with the Eagles, and you're going with Kansas City. And the reason I'm going with the Eagles is because they've had the best team all year long. They have great offensive, defensive lines. And if their quarterback is anywhere close to 100%, they're going to win. What's your score, Charles Way?
It's going to be a high-scoring game. I think they're going to go – it has to be a high-scoring game. Like you, 38-40. Let's get one of the highest-scoring Super Bowls ever. Because, I don't know if Kansas City will be able to stop their offense, and hopefully Mahomes can keep up. And if Mahomes keeps up, they have a chance to win it.
Yeah, but sometimes you get known in games like this, you know? You get known. Who is that guy? And if you don't come through in the clutch, then I think you're gonna be known as a choker.
Yep. And if Philly loses, they're gonna want Sirianni's head. I just wanna let you know.
But this is his third year, right? Or second year?
Second year.
They should give him the benefit of the doubt. I still can't believe they got rid of Andy Reid, and Andy Reid should still be the coach there. Think about that.
They want to get rid of Doc Rivers.
That's Philly, huh? That's Philadelphia. But anyway, we call this the Expressway. Billy Taylor and Charles Way. We're here each and every Wednesday talking New York Jets, New York Giants, and the world of sports. Anything new in the world of news, we'll make sure that we bring it to you. So until next week, I want to thank Paul back at the studio. Doing a great job of taking care of us. For Charles Wade, I'm Billy Taylor. Have a nice evening. Thanks for joining us.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $200 in bonus bets when they bet $5. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $200 in bonus bets and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Virginia. Terms and conditions apply.